It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
And welcome to the Virtual Bible Study. We're glad that you're here tonight. We hope you'll stay tuned to the Thanksgiving edition of the Virtual Bible Study. My name is Jacob Gwynn. We're coming to you live tonight from Jennings, Florida. We're glad to be with you, and I'm glad that you're here. Joining me on the phone tonight from Indianapolis, Indiana, my father, Greg Gwynn, is here. Hello, Dad. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Jake. It's good to be with you. Got kind of a globe-trotting edition of the Virtual Bible Study tonight.
That's right. We've got listeners from around the United States, and we're sort of separated here, Dad. I don't know what the weather's like in Indiana, but we've got the air conditioning on down here.
Oh, man, it's cold up here. It's supposed to be 10 above tonight, so it's we got temperature extremes as well as geographical extremes tonight.
That's right. Well, we're traveling for the holidays, and that's sort of what we're going to talk about tonight. We want to talk about being thankful. The Bible tells us throughout the Scriptures that we need to be thankful for what we enjoy, the blessings we have from God. We want to talk about those tonight. I want to ask you, what are some things that we should be thankful for that we're not often thankful for enough? What do you think we take for granted in our lives? We want to talk about that tonight on the program. The number to call to be a part of the program tonight is 931-381-4567. Or you can email us your questions to questions@collegeview.com. Same number you use every week, 931-381-4567, or email us your questions to questions@collegeview.com. Joining me here in Jennings, Florida, are some regular listeners to the program. First of all, Nick Law is here. Hello, Nick.
Hello. It's good to be with you.
Thank you for joining us today. And also Preston Jackson here. Hello, Preston.
Hey, man. What's going on?
Good to have you. Preston is a regular listener as well. We talk to Preston every week. And also we have Tyler Dowling here. Hello, Tyler.
Hey, it's good to be here as well.
And Mark Law is here as well. Hello, Mark.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Well, Dad, looking forward to the program tonight. Should be an interesting one as we talk about being thankful in our lives.
Well, you know, I suppose everybody will understand the connection, this being Thanksgiving Day, to have a study about the necessity of being grateful individual. But, of course, what we hope to emphasize is that this should not be reserved for a single day of the year, but it should be a characteristic of everyone who's trying to please God, and that is that we have true gratitude in our hearts for a whole host of things.
That is right. We should be thankful in our hearts continually, and that is the instruction in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, where we read, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And so there, Nick, at the beginning of the program, we want to note the importance of being thankful. The Bible tells us throughout the Scriptures, we've got to be thankful for the blessings that God has given us. And that is an important part of our lives as followers of Christ and being spiritual individuals, is that we will be thankful for the blessings we enjoy from God.
That's correct. If we really understand what all God has done for us and we look to the Scriptures, we'll see that it actually commands us to be thankful unto Him. But at the same time, we would want to do that for all the many things that He's done for us.
That is a right. And so we want to ask you at the beginning of the program, what are some things we take for granted in our life that we ought to be thankful for on a continual basis? The number to call is 931-381-4567, or email us your questions or comments to questions@collegeview.com. Well, Preston, we see that the Bible has numerous instructions for us to be thankful. Other passages like Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, tell us the important principle that we need to be thankful for the blessings we enjoy.
That's right. I know one thing that I think about, I've been out of the country before, and I think about the freedom we have in this country. It's a lot different in other countries, and the freedom we have here, we take for granted. We think about, well, we can go into church, and it ain't a big deal, and we'll even take for granted the fact of being able to go into church without being persecuted or killed or whatever could happen, and I think we need to think about that, because God has blessed us, and there's a lot of Christians here that take that for granted, including myself.
That's right, and we're instructed in Colossians 3, verse 17, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." The Bible there, again, tells us to be thankful, and Tyler, we see, if you'll read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, another instruction for us to be thankful.
Yes, Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not supposed to be just thankful for the things that, or just, we're not supposed to be thankful for everything. We're not supposed to be thankful for just our, you know, our earthly, just like our worldly possessions, but also for, you know, the our family members, for the love that we have for one another, with, and for, actually, and for sending the Jesus down across for our sins. And we need to be thankful for all things he's given us.
That's right. We need to be thankful. And finally, then, Mark, in Ephesians chapter 13, verse 15, another instruction for us to be thankful to God for our blessings that we enjoy.
Yeah, I think it's important that we remember who all things come from. Of course, that is God, and it's none of our own doing most of the time. And I think that a lot of times we forget that through him, you know, we're blessed by in so many ways, and we take it for granted.
That's right. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, but by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And so, Dad, we're starting to see a pattern here. God expects us to be thankful individuals.
Yes, that's exactly right, Jacob. I was thinking about one of the verses mentioned earlier there, Colossians 3:17. You know, we use that verse an awful lot to stress the importance of having Bible authority. And I think it's really important that we properly use that verse when we emphasize to folks that we need to have Bible authority for everything we do. It says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That expression, in the name of, means by the authority of. And so we go to that verse most often for that. But the verse ends by saying, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. As important as it is for us to have Bible authority for everything we do, and that's certainly important, and we stress that, the verse makes just as important the idea of being grateful and giving thanks for all that we have. So, this just emphasizes the idea that if we're going to be the kind of people that God wants us to be, we've got to have a balance in our life, and we've got to bring into our character all kinds of different things, and one of those surely is this business of being grateful.
That is right. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Nick, the instruction there is to be thankful, and we see that if we're unthankful, it's a sin before God to be unthankful for the blessings we enjoy.
Yeah, Paul, in writing to Timothy, says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away.
You know, it's interesting there, Nick. You know, we often want to categorize sins and say one sin is a bad sin, but another sin sort of not that bad of a sin. The Bible doesn't make that distinction, but it's important there to notice that being unthankful is lumped with a lot of sins that we would normally say are pretty bad things, and so we see how God views unthankfulness.
That's correct. He looks at sin as a transgression. We're guilty of whatever the sin is, and there's a punishment. And he is not only a God of love, but he's a God of severity.
He lumps being unthankful with being blasphemous, disobedient to parents, false accusers, fierce, despisers of those that are good. A lot of things there that we would not want to be. We wouldn't want to be blasphemous by any means, but a lot of times we are unthankful, and God places that in the same category. What do you think about thankfulness? Are we thankful enough? What are some things where we are not thankful like we should be? Give us a call at 931-381-4567, 931-381-4567, or email us your comments to questions@collegeview.com. That's questions@collegeview.com. We can take your email tonight and take your comments via email or over the phone at 931-381-4567. Well, Dad, you know, we notice that we are commanded to be thankful. And the story of the healing of the 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, really shows us the importance of being thankful. That's a familiar story there, Dad, but maybe you can give us the background on that and explain to us how repulsive it was when those lepers who were healed did not return to thank Jesus.
Well, I think that those lepers in that story are probably some of the most famous, ungrateful people that ever were. In Luke chapter 17, beginning verse 11, it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that to return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. It's really interesting that this disease of leprosy was just a horrible thing in that day. It continues to be a horrible disease in our day, but in that day especially, those who were lepers were absolute, their lives were just ruined. They were outcast from society. They were not allowed to have company with anyone for fear that the contagious disease would spread. And their lives were just miserably ruined. And this blessing that they received from Jesus in being healed of their leprosy was a gift beyond comparison to them. It was such an amazing thing that their lives could be restored to them and they could be made whole. And 9 out of 10 didn't even take time to thank the one who had provided that healing to them. And so it truly was a horrible example of ingratitude.
Isn't it amazing? You know, before they were healed, Dad, no doubt they would have given anything to be healed of that leprosy. That was so important to them. They really had no life as long as they had that leprosy. Now their life has been given back to them. You would think that they would express some type of gratitude, but they didn't. I think there's an important lesson for us there, Dad, that we're often very selfish creatures, and when we get what we want, there's little consideration to give thanks for the one who gave it.
I think that's exactly right. Many times, we know that Jesus taught lessons with his parables, but also Jesus taught lessons with the miracles he did. And in this case, there are really very clear parallels and moral lessons to be learned from the healing of those lepers. You know, we as sinners need to see ourselves like spiritual lepers. When we're lost in sin, when sin is in our lives, unforgiven sin makes us spiritually the parallel of those physical lepers. And when we have the blessing of forgiveness and salvation through Christ Jesus, you would think that it, just as those lepers should have been just so amazingly thankful, we should be just incredibly thankful that through the blood of Jesus, we've been cleansed of this horrible sin sickness. And yet, how often do we take it for granted? Don't even come back to the Lord and show our gratitude by the way we live and the things we do.
That's exactly right. What are your thoughts? What are some things that you believe we take for granted that we should be more thankful for? 931-381-4567, or email us your questions to questions@collegeview.com. We'll take your questions or comments there, and we can talk about that on the program tonight. 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeview.com. Time for our first break. We're going to take that break, and when we get back, we'll take a comment or question from you, hopefully. We look forward to talking with you. Give us a call, 931-381-4567, or questions@collegeview.com. Stay with us. We're back right after this.
Don't touch that mouse. The virtual Bible study will be back right after this.
Hello, everyone. I'm Wade Shelton, a member of the Collegeview Church of Christ. If you're like me, you've probably heard a lot of rumors about what the Church of Christ is all about. But regardless of what the rumors you may have heard, let me just quickly tell you what we are about. The Collegeview Church of Christ is simply a group of Christians that is committed to doing everything that God has commanded us in exactly the way that He commanded us to do it. So we just simply open our Bibles and study them to determine what God has commanded us to do, and then we try to do it. It's just really that simple. Are you interested in being part of a group of people who have this approach to serving God? If so, I hope you will join me and my family as we worship God with the Collegeview Church of Christ this Sunday at 9:30 a.m.
Hi, my name is Troy Smith. I'm 12 years old, and I love to listen to the virtual Bible study.
Use your internet connection for something good. Listen to the virtual Bible study every week. Now, back to the program.
And welcome back to the virtual Bible study live from Florida tonight on Thanksgiving night. We're talking about being thankful, and we're looking forward to talking with you. 931-381-4567. Or questions@collegeview.com. We're talking about thankfulness, and we're asking the question, what are some things in our lives that we generally take for granted that we should be more thankful for? We're looking forward to hearing from you. You know, Nick, there are a lot of hindrances, though, in our lives. We talked about the fact that we're commanded to be thankful, yet we're often unthankful. lot of factors that factor into why we are not as thankful as we should be.
That's right. When we think about just the word thankfulness, someone has said, when you look at our English language, the word think is comparable there with the word thank. And if we learn to think, then certainly we ought to be able to thank God for the many blessings he's given us. Someone has said that we're sort of like in our prayers, we have our wish list and we're always asking God for supplies. But as we ask for those supplications, we certainly ought to be giving thanks. Unlike, you know, pigs we see in a trough, they'll be looking down, they're eating, and they're not thinking about where things come from. And oftentimes, if we're not careful, we might just see ourselves just that way as we fail to respond with our thanksgiving to God for the many things that we should be thinking about. And yet there's so many things that God has provided that we couldn't even think of all the things that God has given to us because man doesn't understand all the complexities of the creation.
Sort of. So what you're saying there, sort of like those pigs that you feed, you get so busy enjoying the food, you don't stop to think about anything else. We get so busy enjoying all the blessings we enjoy that we just don't think about how blessed we really are.
Yeah, if we're not careful, we'll sit down to a fine meal like probably many people did this day, and we'll have so much to be thankful for, and then the next thing we'll be complaining about. So
we'll be looking for what's not on the table that we wanted. Yep. And 931-381-4567 are questions at collegeu.com. You know, I think also that when we lack faith in God's promises, Preston, that causes us to not be thankful. You know, God has told us that he's going to care for our needs. He's going to take care of us. And yet we don't have faith in that, and so therefore we complain about how he's blessed us. We're not really thankful to all the things that God has given us.
Yeah, that's right. If you think about it, faith, when we have faith in God, I think about God has created everything. He's created the things that we take for granted. He's created the things that who we are. He's created the food that we eat. And to not be thankful for the bit, let me try to say, since he can make it, why can't he provide it? We should be thankful for everything that he's given us, and we should have more faith in him that he will provide what he said he will provide. He will provide us with food and clothing and shelter, and we need to understand that he will provide those things.
That's right. 931-381-4567 are questions at collegeview.com. You know, I think also, Dad, that integral with our lack of being thankful is that we don't stop to really understand where our blessings come from. If we would stop and pause and consider where our blessings come from, certainly that would help us to be more thankful.
Well, yeah, you've already mentioned the word selfishness in the program, Jacob, and I think that's exactly right. We and others there are correctly pointing out that everything is from God. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God is the great benefactor of us all. And when we are enjoying the abundance and prosperity that we have, we need to understand that it's a gift to us and that we should appreciate the things we have. I think along with that, appreciation comes the idea of responsibility, accountability, and stewardship that go along with the blessings that we have. But all of us in America should spend some time. I think Preston mentioned that he had been out of the country before, as I have been. You know, most people in the world, the vast majority of the people living in the world, don't have a fraction of the things that we have. And if you just stop to consider the abundance that we possess, it's just incredible. I've made the point a couple times recently. In the Bible, we read about King Solomon and his incredible wealth. But, you know, the average person living in America today has a whole lot of things that Solomon could never even have imagined. You know what? You think about your automobile and your microwave oven and your central heat and air conditioning, and you think about telephone and computers and electric lights and running water and toilets that flush. And I mean, you could just make an incredibly long list of things that we have that King Solomon could never have dreamed of. And yet we take them for granted and we fail to realize them as blessings from God's hand, and we just are ungrateful. And so we really should spend some time, maybe a day like today is a day to spend some time just really thinking about what we have and from whom they come.
That's right. 931-381-4567, or send us your questions or comments to questions@collegeview.com. I think integral with that of failing to understand where our blessings come from and being thankful to God as a result, I think part of that also, Nick, is that we are often very proud and we think that we're the reason for the blessings that we enjoy. The Bible tells us to be very careful about becoming puffed up and proud and failing to give glory to God for the blessings that we enjoy.
Yeah, we can see that real clearly, I suppose. It's always easier, I suppose, to see it in others than ourselves. And the Old Testament is written for our learning and our admonition. And Deuteronomy 8, verse 7 through 18 gives us some information. We'll read a few of those verses. Verse 7 says, "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land." The children of Israel had been brought out of bondage. Bondage today is comparable to the sin when we think about the grace that God has given in sending his son to this earth to die for our sins. And yet when we think about those people in that day, God leading them out of bondage, leading them through the wilderness, providing everything into a good land. And one of the responsibilities was that they were to continue to serve God. And sometimes their example of their pride, not listening to God, and of course, through their unbelief, they failed to make it. God has provided this world through the creation, and he provided for them. Verse 11 says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgment and his statutes." While God gave them the land of promise, we see that it was important that they were to keep that land by keeping his commandments. And today we need to understand that. God provides the lilies of the field, how they bloom. He provides all the animals, shelter, and the grass grows, and then this winter it's going to turn brown and then come out green again. And God has promised us that if we'll just seek first the kingdom first, that he'll give us all of these things. And we need to believe that.
That's right. And notice what the warning was, that when they had enjoyed all these things, they would say in their heart, "My power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth." It is important for us to understand that our blessings don't come from us. We're not responsible for the blessings that we enjoy. God is the one who blesses us. And if we'll get rid of the pride that causes us to think that we're the reason for our blessings, it will help us to be more thankful. And also in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, we read, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, that ready to distribute and willing to communicate." We are told there that those who enjoy blessings should not become high-minded, should not become to think that they are the reason for the blessings that they enjoy, but should always give the glory and honor to God and the thankfulness for the blessings that they enjoy. If you're just joining us on the program tonight, we're talking about thankfulness. It is Thanksgiving night, and we want to look at thankfulness tonight. We've talked about the importance of being thankful. We want to talk about some things that we often take for granted and are not thankful for enough. The number to call is 931-381-4567, or email us your questions or comments to questions@collegeview.com. Dad, you know, it is important also that we look at the subject of discontentedness. You know, I think a lot of people are not thankful because they're just not happy with what they've got and the blessings that they enjoy. They're always wanting a little bit more, and as long as we are discontented, we'll never be thankful like we should be.
That's right, and you know, it's really a shame that we, as we were saying earlier, when we've got so many blessings, it's a shame that we are discontented. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 13, verse 5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have." So we need to be a contented people. You know, one of the great examples of that kind of contentment, I think, in the New Testament is the Apostle Paul. And I believe that his contentment came from the fact that he had a really great spiritual outlook on his life. He wasn't dwelling on the physical. He had once been apparently a very wealthy, influential man among the Jews. He'd given that all up in order to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Philippians chapter 4, beginning verse 11, he says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And so Paul had that spiritual outlook on life. He could be content in whatever state that he was in because he knew the things that really mattered were the spiritual things, his relationship with the Lord, his service to him, and with that as his top priority, other things just took a very secondary place in his mind, and it didn't matter too much to him whether he had a lot or a little, as long as he could be with the Lord.
Well, you know, Nick, if Paul had focused on what he didn't have, or had focused on how bad his situation was, he had a thorn in the flesh, he was in prison, he was getting beat up, Paul would have been a miserable creature. Paul could have never even gotten close to being thankful if he had focused on what he didn't have or how bad his situation was. And that's an important lesson for us to learn.
That's true. When I think about Paul and the description of all the beatings that he got with whips, with rods, the being shipwrecked. On one occasion, you remember Luke is mentioned as his traveling companion as a physician. And what a blessing. I hope, as we think about it, that Luke, as a physician, would have been able to help Paul in his struggles because his body, as we grow older, we feel the aches and pains, and when you've been beaten like he was, he could have been just complaining and feeling sorry for himself, but yet there was a joy that he expresses in Philippians for all that he is able to suffer. And that depends upon how your mind is programmed to say, well, you know, I want to serve God, and if you really believe in God, you realize this life is just temporary.
Isn't that an amazing perspective, though, that he could say whatever state he's in, he could be content? I mean, how could you do that? I don't think any of us could get close to that. It, with all the comforts that we enjoy and we take for granted, you know, that's an amazing perspective and a perspective that we need to aspire to be like Paul, and where we could say whatever state we're in, we can be content. And until we get that attitude, there's really no way, Preston, that we can be thankful. Until we get the attitude that wherever we are, we're going to be content, we're going to be thankful, we're never going to be the type of thankful person that God wants us to be.
Right. If our main focus is just pleasing God, it won't matter what state we're in. Because like he was saying, you know, if you think about Paul, he was shipwrecked. I mean, when have we ever been, we may have been broke down in a boat maybe, but we've never been shipwrecked.
Well, I've been shipwrecked, and it's not a lot of fun. But Paul could have the attitude and the outlook that he could be shipwrecked and he could be content. 931, yeah, you got a comment there, Dad?
Yeah, you may have to fill us in on that shipwreck story.
Well, I think you were there. You weren't there that night, but you know of it. We were landlocked in the middle of the lake there, where we got stuck, and we had to get some help.
You went aground. You weren't actually wrecked, but you did go aground.
Well, I felt like I was shipwrecked. Let's just put it that way, and we weren't too happy about it. We were wondering how we're going to get back to dry land. 931-381-4567. Or send us questions at collegeview.com. I'm sure, Dad, that it's nothing like Paul experienced. We weren't hanging on to boards and hoping to get to an island. But you know, we go through a lot of difficult times in our life, Dad, and we've got to learn how to be content in those difficult situations.
That's right. And as I said earlier, I think Paul is an amazing example of that spirit of contentedness and thankfulness. You know, as you read in his epistles, I haven't checked recently, but I'd be willing to guess that in almost every one of them, if not every one of them, he mentions the thanks that he has to God for various things, including his brethren and other things. You know, you mentioned earlier, Jake, if you'd like to get some emails or some phone calls that people meant to give suggestions of things that we ought to be thankful for, Paul was always thankful and mentioned it in all of his epistles, the things that he was grateful for.
That's right. We can learn a lot of lessons from Paul and the perspective that we should have and the outlook we should have on our lives.
One other comment about Paul in the shipwreck. If you remember, by his contentedness and his thanksgiving to God, he was trying to have influence with the people on board that ship. And the soldiers there, the one who was guarding Paul, he was able to influence him at the end after he has gone through all of those things. And there's a lot of joy, but it took his contentment to have to endure those things in order for him to have that influence.
Well, that's an excellent point. You know, our thankfulness and our attitude and our outlook will have an influence on others. And if we fail to have that thankful and contented outlook and attitude, then we definitely won't be the influence that we need to be. 931-381-4567, or send us your questions or comments to questions@collegeview.com. We're going to go to our bottom of the hour break, and when we get back, we'll take it to the top of the hour. We want to hear from you tonight. What are some things that you think we take for granted in this life? Some blessings that we enjoy that we take for granted and that we should be more thankful for. That's going to cause you maybe to think a little bit, because you may be taking these things for granted as well. But stop and think about some things that we take for granted that we should be more thankful for, and share those ideas with us at 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeview.com. Stay with us. We'll be back right after this.
You won't want to miss what we talk about next. The discussion continues right after these important messages.
Hi, my name is Mike Smith, and I'm a member of the College of Church of Christ on Hampshire Pike. Let me ask you some questions. Do you remember when churches insisted on Bible authority for everything they did? Can you recall when church members always expected they thus saith the Lord? Can you remember when the church was well known for its book, chapter, and verse style of teaching and preaching? Are you upset because the church you're attending doesn't always approach things this way anymore? Does it concern you that elders and preachers don't seem to care about Bible authority at all? We're still trying to do everything according to the New Testament pattern. If you're looking for a church like the one you remember from the past, please visit us soon at the College of Church of Christ this Sunday at 9:30 a.m.
Hi, my name is Troy Smith. I'm 12 years old, and I love to listen to the virtual Bible study.
Use your internet connection for something good. Listen to the virtual Bible study every week. Now, back to the program.
And welcome back to the program. We're glad that you're here tonight on the virtual Bible study, and we're going to take it to the top of the hour. We're live from Florida tonight, and we're talking about being thankful on Thanksgiving night. Want to hear your comments and thoughts about being thankful, maybe some things that you notice that we take for granted in our lives. 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeview.com. We're told to be content, Mark, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. The instruction is very clear there. We need to be content with what we've been blessed with in this life.
But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content.
Well, Mark, it says there that godliness with contentment is great gain. What do you suppose some of that gain is that he's talking about there?
Well, for one, it would be our ability to be forgiven of our sins, I think.
Yeah, that's something that we should be thankful and content with. But, you know, if we don't have godliness with contentment, you know, you look at those in the world around us who are always wanting to get something else. You know, they have a nice home, but they're not happy with it, or they have a nice car, but they're just waiting for that next thing, and they're not content. And there's really a great suffering there, Nick, when we think about what they're suffering with as they try to get more and more. They're never happy. Their life is just miserable because they don't have that contentment that we're instructed to have there in 1 Timothy chapter 6.
Yeah, you know, when we think about God, the creator of the world, that's made every one of these blessings that we receive, every good and every perfect gift, as we've read, comes from God above. And when we think about God has created this world, this universe, the sun, the moon, the stars, you know, the things that gives us the night, the day, and all the seasons of the year. It's cold there in Indiana. It's kind of warm here in Florida. But God has given us every bit of that, and yet God, the creator of all these material things, he's going to burn them up one day when the end of time comes. And yet we many times are seeking and our covetousness, we may not view ourselves as idolaters, but when we covet more and more of this world's good, and God is going to burn it up. It puts a lot different perspective on things.
You know, there is often the time, though, where we are not content with what we have, and we may have something that somebody else doesn't have, and they'd like to have it like we've got it. We might like to have it like they've got it. You know, tonight we sat down to eat, and it was a little bit warm. We had to turn the air conditioner on. We were complaining about how hot it was. Dad, you guys probably sat down in Indiana, and we're complaining about how cold it was in the house. You know,
we've got the heat turned up pretty good, so we're plenty warm. But there again, something to be grateful for.
That's right. We're not content, though, often. We want it to be the other way, and when we get it the other way, we're not very happy there either.
That's right. You know, I was thinking about that passage that Mark read there in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 8 says, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. In other words, just Paul was saying, if you've got the very bare necessities of life, be content. We're not, are we? So when he mentioned that verse, it made me think that we all have quite a room for improvement on this subject. there's not anybody listening tonight, I don't imagine, that can say, you know, I think I have achieved true contentment. Because if we had just the very bare necessities of life, food and raiment, and we didn't have anything else, we'd be pretty upset probably tonight. You know, and very often we get kind of consumed with the desire for more material things. I need a better car. I need a bigger house. You know, I need more things. And we're not content. Truly, we're not a very contented people. And so Paul sets a high standard there when he says, if you have the very bare necessities of life, be content. And if we can have that outlook, it sure helps us be more grateful when we get, when we have, in truth, a lot more than the very bare necessities of life.
You know, to illustrate that, Dad, tomorrow morning there are going to be a lot of people who get up very early to go to the store and stand in line and fight for a position in the crowd in order to get more stuff. You know, it's very easy. The marketers in the world are trying to convince us that we need to be careful, or we need to get more. You know, the marketers are trying to convince us, hey, you got to come out and get these deals we got for you tomorrow morning. And if we're not careful, that can cause us to be very discontent. We want more. We got to have more.
We certainly live in a materialistic age, and I think it's a great temptation. I have often said, you know, you read lots of warnings in the Scripture about covetousness. There's just numerous references to the sin of covetousness. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul said that covetousness, I think it's verse 5, let me look real quick, Colossians 3, verse 5, he says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Idolatry in our age is not to make a graven image and set it up on a stand and bow down and worship it. Our idolatry today is covetousness, materialism, worshiping things, and wanting more and more of those kind of things. And if there were ever a people in the history of the world who are in danger from the sin of covetousness, spiritual danger from that sin of covetousness, it's surely us. We need to take the warning.
That's right. 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeu.com. Looking for your questions or comments tonight about thankfulness and being thankful people. And we want to hear your comments tonight. What are some things that we take for granted that we should be more thankful of? We want to hear from you tonight. You know, I think that often, Preston, our selfishness often hinders us as well. It keeps us from being thankful. You know, Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 through 35, a lengthy reading, but why don't you run through that real quickly and explain to us this person who was selfish and therefore not thankful as he should be.
Matthew 18:23-35, it says, Therefore is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king, which would take account to his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servant saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses.
Well, you know, Nick, I think there's an important lesson for us there, that this person obviously was selfish and thinking only of himself, and that caused him to be a very unhappy person and a person who was not considerate of others, not thankful as he should be, I believe.
That's right. It certainly was a great debt that he owed. If we were to put it in today's dollars, you know, we might use inflation to show how much. But one of the great detriments of this fellow's lack of mercy is demonstrated. The Bible teaches us very plainly that, you know, we have to be people who are merciful if we want to see God. And we need to show mercy to people. And while he was not willing to show that mercy, he was willing to treat people in the ugliest ways. And usually that's a person who is materialistic minded. The more they have, the more they want, and the worse they will actually treat other people.
That's right. 931-381-4567, or send us your questions or comments to questions@collegeview.com. You know, guys, regardless of what the hindrances to thankfulness may be, if we're not thankful as we should be, then there's a lot of other sins that can go along with that. First of all, failing to be thankful in and of itself is a sin. We already mentioned the commands, the verses that command us to be thankful. And if we do not follow those commands, then we are sinning. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 tells us, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So when we do not follow the instructions to be thankful as we should be, we are sinning. And Romans chapter 6, verse 23 tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we see then that being unthankful, Dad, can actually cause our soul to be lost in hell.
That's right. Sin separates us from God, Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. And so, you know, we'd like to think that the kind of sins that separate us from God might only be the very horrible sins in our estimation, sins like, you know, murder or thievery or adultery or something. You know, people have in their mind certain horrible sins that maybe might separate one from God. And then we tend to categorize these other things as not so important, you know. But the scriptures are teaching us that ingratitude is a sin that separates us from God. And if we allow that to remain in our lives and we fail to develop this important characteristic of gratitude, we'll be separated from God, not only in this life, but in eternity.
Not only that, but ingratitude, Nick, causes other sins to develop in our lives as well. Being ungrateful was a characteristic of those in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, that caused them to commit other sins as well.
Yeah, the Bible says in Romans 1, 21, because that when they knew not God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. That is such a contrast to those Colossians we see in Colossians 3:15, where Paul is saying to them, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. God is instructing us and in giving us all the things that we need in this life that pertains to life and godliness. And when we let that rule in our hearts, that's going to bring the peace of God. We'll have peace of mind. We won't be just trying to grab all we can and can all we can get, as someone has said.
That's right. But, Dad, you notice that is an amazing instruction or command or comment on those in Romans chapter 1, where part of their problem was they were not thankful as they should be. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and you know, there's a really vivid description of the very gross sins that they became involved in, and at its root was that they weren't grateful to God, and therefore they didn't care to serve him because they weren't grateful. You know, in the Old Testament, there's a kind of a classic example of the children of Israel, who were so often delivered by God's power from their oppressors, would then in time forget what he had done for them and fall back into their former practices. For instance, in the book of Judges, it describes how the man Gideon delivered the Israelites from their oppressors. But notice what it says in Judges chapter 8, beginning verse 33. It came to pass as soon as Gideon was dead that the children of Israel turned again and went whoring after Balaam and made Baal-berith their god. And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side, neither showed they kindness to the house of Jerubbaal, namely Gideon. So here, this man who had delivered them, they turned on his own descendants. They certainly turned against God, failed to remember his deliverance. They were just ungrateful. And we can, as we read those Old Testament accounts, we think, how could they How could they do that? And then we fail to realize that we have that own, that the similar failing in our own lives.
That's right. That's exactly right. And if we're not thankful in our lives, it can lead to the same sins that these have demonstrated in the Bible. Tyler?
You know, we think about when we go back to the Old Testament, just as he was talking about, that we think that at the very first, when he led them out of Egypt, he brought them out, and Moses went up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments from God, and he wasn't even gone. Well, it was about 30 days, and then they all of a sudden just turned and started worshiping the calf, and we think, how could they do that? Well, also, he fed them manna, and he fed them quail, and they got tired of that. But then we think about the same with us, that, you know, we may get a good paycheck every week, but then we start getting where, you know, we want more and we want more, and then finally we start giving up on everything. We start, you know, coming to church on Wednesdays maybe, and we maybe can get as far to quit altogether, but we should be content with what we have and how we're making it through, and have our eyes more not on the material things, but on the spiritual things as well.
Excellent comments. Well, what are your comments tonight? 931-381-4567. Or send us your questions or comments to questions@collegeview.com. If you're just joining us on the program tonight, we're talking about thankfulness, and we would like to hear your comments on some things that we take for granted in our lives that we should be more thankful for. 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeview.com. Stay with us. There's more to go right after this.
Did you hear what they just said? Call in during this break and let everyone know what you think. The virtual Bible study continues after this announcement.
Me again, Mike Smith at the College of Church of Christ. Let me ask you some more questions. You remember when the pulpit was used for the purpose of convicting sinners and teaching them how to be saved? Are you tired of preachers who seem more inclined to entertain their audience than to teach them the truth? Does it seem that sermons you're hearing each week could easily be given in a PTA meeting or a social club? Do you remember when sin was called sin, at the end of the sermon you knew, by book, chapter, and verse, what the preacher was talking about and why? Well, we're still preaching the old Jerusalem gospel that you read about in your Bible. We invite you to investigate for yourself. Please come and see this Sunday at the College of Church of Christ at 9:30 a.m. on Hampshire Pike.
Hello, my name's Jeffrey Vernon. I'm 13, and this is the virtual Bible study.
Hello, everyone. I'm Monty, a member of the College of Church of Christ. So you've been hearing all about the College of Church of Christ on the virtual Bible study and are interested in finding out more about the church. But you live hundreds of miles away from Columbia, Tennessee, and can't come and visit with the congregation to find out more. There's no reason to fear. After all, we live in the 21st century. Here's what you can do to find out more about the College View Church of Christ. First, why don't you check out our website while you're listening to the virtual Bible study? You'll find important information about the church there, including bulletin articles there on various subjects, and can even listen to sermons that have been presented at the College View Church in the past. Secondly, if you have questions about the church or about any Bible teaching, why don't you send an email to us and let us know how we can help? Send your questions to questions@collegeview.com. That address, once again, is questions@collegeview.com. We can even have a personal Bible study with you over email if you desire. And finally, if you would rather talk with someone in person, give us a call at 931-381-4567. That's 931-381-4567. You can call this number anytime. If you don't get an answer, leave a message and we'll call you back as soon as we can. We're glad you're listening to the virtual Bible study and hope to hear from you soon.
My name is Roger Toombs, and me and my wife love to listen to the virtual Bible study on Thursday nights.
A streaming Bible study. Why didn't I think of that? Now back to the guys.
And welcome back to the program. We're glad that you're here. We're live from Jennings, Florida tonight on Thanksgiving night, and we're talking about thankfulness, and we'd like to hear your comments. 931-381-4567, or email us your questions or comments to questions@collegeview.com. What are some things that we take for granted that we should be more thankful for? We have an email from Gordon in Columbia. Gordon says we should consider ourselves as having nothing. It all belongs to God. Psalm 50, verse 10 says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills." You know, I think that would help us to be more content and more thankful if we'd realize that everything that we enjoy in this world is God's.
That's right. I think it's been pointed out many, many times by many, many teachers that we really just temporary stewards of the things we have. We didn't have, you know, Mark read earlier, 1 Timothy chapter 6, we didn't have anything when we came into this world. We're not going to take anything out. And so we just have temporary stewardship of those things while we're here. And we need to view it that way. And therefore, these things would be grateful for what we had, but it would also prevent us from allowing those things to distract us from what's really important, our souls and eternity.
So the blessings that we enjoy are God's, and therefore we should use them in His service and not allow them to distract us from serving Him. 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeu.com. Thank you, Gordon, for that question and for listening tonight, or that comment, and for your listening tonight. 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeu.com. Guys, we got a question before the program, a couple hours before the program tonight, and perhaps the questioner is listening, and we'd like to answer that question now. It's on a little different subject, but it is something that is worth talking about. The question goes, does an individual, quote, receive the Holy Spirit when immersed for forgiveness of sins? Isn't the, quote, gift of the Holy Spirit, the written word and salvation that is made available or made known through His written word? What about that, Nick? Would you say that an individual receives the Holy Spirit when immersed for forgiveness of sins, or would you say that the individual receives the gift of the Holy Spirit when immersed for the forgiveness of sins?
Well, in Acts, the second chapter, we see there that Peter, in teaching those who had crucified the Lord, they were men who asked, "What shall we do?" And he says, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And of course, in that verse alone, sometimes the question is asked, is the gift the Holy Spirit, or is it the gift that the Holy Spirit gives? Certainly, we see that God has made the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit, and so at that point in time is when we would receive it according to Him.
And, Dad, I believe that what we're talking about there is the gift of the Holy Spirit, as we read there in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, when one is immersed for the remission of sins.
Well, the grammatical construction of Acts 2:38 would allow it to be understood either way, either that the Holy Spirit Himself is the gift, or that the Holy Spirit gives a gift. The grammar there would allow it to be either way. I'm of the opinion that it is a gift given by the Holy Spirit, which is the salvation, forgiveness of sins, salvation of our souls. We know in Acts chapter 8 that there were some people who were immersed. In Acts chapter 8, people in the city of Samaria were immersed, but it says after they had already been baptized, in verse 16, Acts 8, 16, that the Holy Spirit had fallen upon none of them. So the Holy Spirit personally or miraculously had not been bestowed to them, but they had certainly gained the salvation of their soul through their obedience. And so my understanding is, I know there may be someone who would differ with that, but my understanding is that the gift of the Holy Spirit is a gift He gives, and that is the whole concept of salvation through Christ Jesus and His shed blood.
And that gift is promised to everyone who believes and will be baptized for the remission of sins. That promise is to us as well if we'll be submissive to the will of God.
You know, we might tie that back to our study tonight, Jacob, by saying, of all things to be thankful for, that would be the greatest thing to be thankful for.
That's exactly right.
That the God of heaven, the very creator of the universe, cared enough for us when we were so miserable, such miserable sinners and so totally unworthy. He cared enough to send His own Son, shed His blood on the cross, so that we could have the opportunity of forgiveness and a relationship with Him. It's just beyond imagination, but God did it.
That's exactly right. And you know what is even more amazing is that we can be considered His sons, His children, as a result of that salvation. Isn't that amazing that through the gift of His Son, we can become the children of God?
Yeah, and I think, as I said, of all things to be grateful for on a day like today, that ought to be at the top of our list.
There's a lot of things accompanying with that, though, Nick, and that another one of those blessings is now as the children of God, we have the blessing of prayer where we can make our petitions known unto God.
Yeah, Paul makes that very clear in Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 13. He says, to those Christians in Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so we see that Paul is speaking to Christians about that, and he thanks them due to that fact. In verse 15, he says, therefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you. We ought to give thanks to God, and the reason we can give thanks to God is because of the spiritual blessings which we have through His Son, which means that's God's grace providing all of that to us and giving us His Son. And then, as we see the Apostle Paul, he's giving thanks for other brethren's faith, and not only his faith, but for others. And we ought to be thankful for others who will encourage us and help us to realize what our what the real important things, purpose of life is, and that's to serve God and do His commandments.
That's right. We should be thankful for our brethren. Preston, you know, our brethren can be a great encouragement to us as we're trying to live a life that's pleasing to God. We need our brethren, and we should be thankful for the encouragement we receive from them.
That's right. I mean, that's, if you think about it, that's one big reason why we need to be at church, because when we're at church, we're able to see them. And I give you an example. We have, how old is Miss Madeline? She's about, what, 96 or 7, around in there?
94.
Okay, I'm making her older than she is. But,
not a lot of difference when you're that age, I guess.
Still old. Huh? But, and she comes better than I know people who's plenty able to come. And that's an encouragement because, yeah, I mean, you really can't get out that well when you're that old. And I think about another thing. We ate Thanksgiving at Todd's house today, and I'm not kidding. There's one person in there except people I bring with me. And, you know, that I feel, and this is just me, I feel closer to some people that I go to church with than I do some of the people I'm kin to, just because there's a spiritual connection that we have. We have the same ideas, going after the same thing, and it's great.
That's one of the wonderful things. Jesus is willing to call us His brethren, and we are the family of God, and that is one of the wonderful things about serving God in spiritual matters, our prayer, our salvation, because the family of God understands those things, and the things that they will say to us for encouragement mean so much.
That's right. We have hope, we have peace, we have joy, all because of the salvation that we enjoy. These are spiritual blessings that we often take for granted, and we need to be more thankful for them, and we need to make sure that we're thankful in our life. Guys, we're about to run out of time, but we have some other points that we wanted to cover quickly. How can we become more thankful, Dad? What are some ways that we can become more thankful in our lives before God?
Well, one thing is we've just got to consciously remember our blessings. In Psalm 103, verse 2, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." You just got to spend some time remembering and thinking about all that you have. This is, as we've been talking about here, some of the great blessings we enjoy from God. Among those, tops are all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3.
You know, another passage I think is very powerful to help us be more thankful is the 40th Psalm, verse 5, which says, "Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts, which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order to unto thee. If I would declare and speak them, they are more than can be numbered." If we'll just focus on our blessings, we won't have any reason or room to complain, because we have more blessings to be thankful for than we have time to be thankful for them. And if we can just focus on those, we can be thankful in our life. And then we need to dwell on the spiritual blessings, as you mentioned, Dad, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And never forget the giver. James chapter 1, verse 17 tells us every good and perfect gift comes from God and is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, who with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good and perfect gift comes from God, and we need to dwell on those gifts and be thankful. Well, guys, we're out of time. Appreciate you joining us on the program tonight. Nick, thanks for letting us take over your office tonight and broadcast the program.
Glad to do it.
Enjoyed being with you. And Preston, thank you for listening every week and for being with us tonight. Enjoyed the time we spent with you.
Yeah, I've had a good time.
Tyler, thank you, Tyler.
It's good being here, too.
And Mark, thank you for joining us on the program tonight. Enjoyed being with you tonight as well.
Glad to be here.
Dad, thanks for joining us on the program tonight from Indianapolis. We're glad that we were able to talk with you as well.
Glad we could make that connection, Ed Jacob. You always amaze me with the technical connections, and I'm glad that we were able to do it. To everybody who's listening, we're glad that you listened to the virtual Bible study and hope that you'll make it a regular part of your weekly schedule. Thursdays at 8 o'clock Central Time, we're going to try to be here if we possibly can be. We want you to be with us.
That's right. We appreciate you listening to the program tonight, and we hope that you benefited from the time you spend in consideration of these things from God's Word. We hope that we have talked about things that will help you to be more thankful in your life. If you have any question or comment about the things we talked about tonight, we encourage you to get in touch with us. The number to call to be a part to get in contact with us is 931-381-4567. You can call that number anytime, or you can email us anytime to questions@collegeview.com. We hope you make plans to join us here next week on the virtual Bible study. And in between now and then, we encourage you to put God first in your life, study His inspired word, the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the Virtual Bible Study, brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the Virtual Bible Study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.